You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 Southwards Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. On this New Year's weekend message, Campus Pastor Harvey Carpenter will be looking at the decisions that we make every day really do affect our lives. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. We really do live and die by the choices we make. Our scripture text comes from Joshua chapter 21, starting in verse 45. Today's message is entitled, Best Decision Ever.
Welcome to 2017. I see some of you look very tired today. How many people here stayed up till midnight? Me too, yeah. A few of you went to bed early, I know. So excited to be here today to share with you. You know, the truth is, as we all know, and as Ryan said just a moment ago, our lives can be very confusing, they can be very messy, they can be very complicated. I can relate to that, and I'm sure you can relate to that as well. Every day we wake up and we have to make decisions immediately. From the very moment our eyes open, we have to decide a number of things, don't we? What are our first words going to be this day? What are we going to wear? Are we going to eat breakfast? And if so, what are we going to eat? I mean, the decisions just come one after another. And those kinds of decisions that I just described are really minor decisions, aren't they? I mean, we make those kinds of decisions without really even putting much thought into them. They just kind of happen. And they have very minimal effect on our lives. However, there are other decisions that are much more significant in life. Things like, what do I believe about God? What is my purpose in life? And maybe what will I pursue in terms of a job or a career? Who will I marry or who will I date? Or what will I say and how will I say it? Whether or not to have children? Just to name a few of the serious decisions that we have to make throughout our lifetime. And every day we face constant choices that we have to make about something in our lives. Various studies have been done, and they estimate that the average adult, I did not know this, the average adult on a daily basis, get this, makes about 35,000 relatively conscious decisions in life. 35,000, I had no idea it was that high. They said for a child, it's about 3,000 decisions. So every day we're having to make just thousands upon thousands of decisions, some small, some large. In fact, if that number, 35,000, shocked you, you'll even be shocked more about this. According to Cornell University, we make 226.7 decisions about just the food in our lives on a daily basis. That's staggering to me. And as your level of responsibility in life increases, whatever that level of responsibility looks like, the decisions that you face increase as well. So we're always having to make choices in life about certain things. I heard about this couple in church who'd been married for 50 years. And the wife said, she said, on our wedding day, we decided that the husband would make all the major decisions and the wife would make all the minor decisions. And she said, for our marriage, this arrangement has worked out great. So far, there have been no major decisions. Sounds like my marriage. You see, our ability to make a choice, just to choose, to make a decision about something, is really an exciting, incredible, and sobering gift that God gives us. It's part of this idea of free will, that God allows us to actually make choices, contrary choices. We can go this way or we can go that way. But we have an obligation to make wise choices. Being a good steward of our choices is something that God expects. And here's why. The quality and the direction of your life, in large measure, is determined by the choices that you make. There are other factors. But in general, the choices that you make, in large measure, determine the quality and the direction of your life. I like how Andy Stanley talks about this in his book called The Principle of the Path. Here's what he says. He says, direction, not intention, determines your destination. Direction, The direction that you're going, based on the choices that you make, not your intention, determines your destination. What he means by this is the choices that you make put you on a path in life. And that path determines where you will end up both in life and I would also say in eternity. You see, everybody knows that if you live in Florida, all of us who live in Florida, we know that if you want to go to Georgia, let's say, and you get on I-75 and you go south, that you're going to end up in Fort Myers. You're not going to Georgia, right? You can plan your trip. You can tell the neighbors. You can load the kids in the car. You can make all the preparations you want. You can even pray in the driveway before you leave. But if you get on I-75 and you go south, you will not go to Georgia, right? We all understand that. And in the area of travel and geography, that makes sense to us. We get it. But this principle also applies to us in other areas, and it seems to be a major disconnect in a lot of people's lives, that this principle applies in other areas of our lives, like relationally, for instance. You're on a marriage path, whether you know it or not. The choices that you make, the decisions that you make within your marriage put you on a certain path that leads to a certain outcome. That's true if you're dating as well. There's also a financial path. You're on a money path. You're headed somewhere financially based on your spending and your investing decisions. It's true academically, if you're in school. It's also true spiritually, because your destination determines, or rather your direction determines your destination. And that's why making wise decisions about the most important things in life is not something that we should take lightly. In fact, it's crucial. So I want you to think about this past year, 2016. Think about some of the decisions you made this past year. Were there any major ones? Likely so, right? Are you happy with the destination that you're at right now based on those decisions that you made last year? Are you where you want to be in life right now? Because if you're not, you need to look back to some of the choices that you've made along the way, because they determine your destination. Do you have any regrets from last year? Did you hesitate and miss some good opportunities because you didn't decide? Do you think God was honored by your decisions last year? Perhaps you were indecisive. Did you hesitate when you should have pushed forward in some areas like family or career or finances? What about your walk with God? Did you make any significant strides in that area last year? And what does this coming year hold for you? Here's what I know is true for all of us. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. You get that? We make our decisions, and then the decisions that we've made end up making us. We literally live by and die by the decisions and the choices that we make in life. This is true relationally. You want an amazing marriage or an awesome best friend or coworkers who respect you? Then make decisions that lead to those outcomes. Loving your wife in the same way that Christ loved the church puts you on a different path than loving yourself first and leaving your wife with the leftovers. You see how that goes? Two different relationships based on the choices that we make. You want to be physically healthy. You want to get in better shape this coming year. It's no secret that what you put into your body in large measure determines your physical health. I was in Florida Hospital a week or two ago, and I saw a big sign they've got in their lobby at Florida South. And it's a big sign that says this. It says, "Nutrition is the fuel that drives the system." And what they're telling you by that sign is the choices you make about what you put in your body determines how healthy you are. It's the fuel that drives the system. And that's so true. You make your food choices, and then guess what? Your food choices make you. That's just how it works. You talk to any personal trainer, and they will tell you, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet, no matter how hard you try. Maybe if you're a professional athlete and all you do is exercise, that's one thing, but most of us aren't. And you can't outrun a bad diet. Smart nutritional choices put you on a path to good health. Poor nutritional choices do just the opposite. You want to have a dynamic relationship with God? It starts by asking yourself this question. Will I follow Jesus or will I reject him? That's where it starts. You want a relationship with God, a dynamic relationship it's dynamic and it's whole and it's moving somewhere. It's helping direct your life. Ask yourself, do I want a relationship with Jesus? That's one choice. Or am I going to reject him? That's another choice. And what you decide about Jesus determines your path. It leads you to a destination in keeping with your choice. That's my point. Accepting Jesus and allowing him to sit on the throne of your heart is the best decision you'll ever make. And it's the one decision, by the way, that informs all the other decisions that you make in life. Which brings us to our text for today, Joshua chapter 24. Now, this chapter concludes the Old Testament book of Joshua. It's a great book. And in this chapter, Joshua records his final farewell address, speech to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel. And he has some important things to say to them about the choices that they can make about God. Now, Joshua is a great leader. He's a spiritual mentor. He was a valiant soldier. I like to think of him as the Rambo of the Old Testament in a good way. But he was a soldier, and he was a spiritual mentor, a fantastic leader. And in his farewell address, he recounts all the ways that God has providentially cared for the nation and the people of Israel throughout their history. And he talks about how God was there to lead them out of slavery in Egypt, and how he guided them providentially into the blessings of the promised land. And one of the things he says prior to giving this last speech, he says, not one of the good promises which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. He says, all of them came to pass. So the basis upon which he gives this final speech is that God never fails. God always comes through. If he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. And on that basis, Joshua offers to the people this final farewell address, and it's all about wise choices, the choices that they're going to have to make. And that's true, too, for us as well. Every time we're faced with a challenge, no matter how grim the outlook appears to be, God comes through for us, just like he did for the nation of Israel, to protect us and to rescue us and to save us. And so here's what he says. Follow along with me. Here's what he says in Joshua chapter 24. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, and I suppose it does to some people, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, back in history, their history, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living, currently the gods of the people in the land where they are. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, he says, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he's making a choice, and he's telling the nation, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. You have to make a choice as to which God you will serve. Will you serve the gods of beyond the Euphrates? Will you serve the gods of the Amorites? Or will you serve the God who has been faithful to you and your family every single day? I think if Joshua was here today, standing before us, as we enter 2017, I believe he would say to us, choose this day whom you will serve. He would say, don't sit on the fence. Don't ignore the opportunity. Don't offer an excuse. Don't take this opportunity to procrastinate. Instead, Joshua urges him to make the right choice and choose the Lord. And then it's amazing what happens, because in the text, the people take that moment, they hear what he has to say, they ponder his words, and then they answer him. And here's what they say. They say, we too will serve the Lord. They made their choice because he is our God. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds the Lord which he had done for Israel. And so they pondered the facts and the care and the protection and all that God had done for them, and they chose to serve the Lord. I want to suggest to us today three wise choices that we can all make right now that will be the best decisions you've ever made in your life. And not only that, these three wise choices will also help to serve to make 2017 your best year ever, I believe. And here's the first one. As Joshua said to the people of Israel, I think he would say to us today, choose today. Choose today. Choose right now whom you will serve. Don't delay what is urgent. Choosing whom you will serve is not an auxiliary decision. It's not something you put off. It's a primary decision because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You could put the decision off, but it might be too late. None of us are guaranteed even the rest of this day. And you don't want to step into eternity with regrets. I'll guarantee you that. Jesus said James says in chapter 4 of his book, he says, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow because you're just a vapor for a little while that vanishes away. George Jones is a country music icon. Now, I'm not a country music fan, so I don't really know George Jones all that well, but I do know that he is a country music icon. But he's from the old school. He's from the old school for sure. A lot of his songs are the stereotypical country songs, the cheating and drinking type songs, if you've ever listened to George Jones. But the fact is, George Jones had a drinking problem, and it was no secret. And his fans were horrified on March the 6th, 1999, to hear that he was critically injured in a car crash when he ran his car into a bridge in Nashville. The investigation showed, of course, that George Jones had been drinking. And thankfully, he recovered. A couple of months later, he put out a new album. You may be familiar with the album. I've never listened to it. But the title of the album is this, Cold Hard Truth. And there's a song on the album called Choices. And one of the hook lines in that song says this, I'm living and dying with the choices I made. Were some of you singing that just then? I thought I heard a few voices singing that. We're doing the same thing. We're living and dying with the choices that we make. We're living for eternity with God or without Him based on whatever we decide about Jesus. A few years ago, a lady named Linda Ellis, her father passed away. And in the process of grieving over his passing, she would often visit the place where he was laid to rest in the cemetery. And she noticed there were many headstones there, as there always are. And on the headstones, there were dates, the date of a birth, date of a passing. And in between the dates, she noticed that there was engraved a small dash. So she wrote a poem about her father. She called the poem The Dash. It goes like this. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of his friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noticed that first came the date of his birth. He spoke the second date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time he spent alive on earth. Now, only those who loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live in love and how we spend our dash. So think long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what is true and what is real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be pleased with the things they have to say about how you spent your dash? Now, I love that poem, but I love it because it's such a sobering reminder that none of us are even guaranteed the rest of this day. And it asks a great question. How are you spending your dash? What choices are you making? Because we all have a dash. For some of us in this room, your dash will be very long, and I think that's a blessing from God. Praise God, that's wonderful. But for others of us here today, your dash will be much shorter, and here's the point. You don't know how long your dash is going to be. So preparing for then, now, becomes of great importance because we don't want to enter into eternity with regrets. We want to make the choice to choose this day whom we will serve. And that becomes of primary importance because you don't want to step into eternity not having made the right choice about who you serve or having put that decision off for another time thinking that you had more time, because you may not. Today is the day of salvation, is what Joshua told the people. Choose this day whom you will serve, because you're only one decision away from a totally different life. You're one decision away from a totally different life, but you got to make the decision. And that one decision about Jesus, by the way, changes everything. Accepting him into your life as your Lord and Savior and repenting of your sins and proclaiming him to all who will listen and being baptized into his death and his burial and his resurrection is the best decision you will ever make. Now, there's another wise decision that you ought to consider as we're thinking about important decisions today. And again, it's another great decision, and it will make your 2017 the best year you've ever had. And here it is. Choose second place. No one ever tells that to us. We're always told, man, you're a winner, right? You got to win. Nobody wants to be second. We're told that second place is really the first loser, right? That's what we're told often. It goes against everything that we've been taught about getting ahead in life and being successful. Nobody wants to come in second. But here's what Jesus said. He said, whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake, he says, well, that person has found it. That's the same thing as saying you got to put yourself in second place. Simply put Jesus in second put yourself in second, put Jesus in first by denying ourselves and calling upon him. I like what it says also in Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me daily. That doesn't sound like a winning formula, because denying yourself and taking up your cross daily is a hard thing to do. It sounds like that's not what winners do. But in Jesus' economy and in following him, that's exactly what we're called to do. Because when we put our hope and trust in him and place him first in our lives, well, that's when we become the winners. See, no, Jesus doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He doesn't want to ride in the passenger seat of your life. He wants to be first place in your heart. It's a call to humility on our part. It's a call to self-sacrifice. It's a call to put Jesus first. Take a look at this video of a young man who put himself first and then decided to put Jesus first and become second.
I remember when I was 17 and a woman asked me, are you saved? I didn't have any idea what she meant. I was like, saved? What the heck is saved? The best thing I could think through was maybe she means, am I like my grandmother? And I adamantly told her no, because I'm not like my grandmother. I wasn't the greatest athlete, definitely wasn't a scholarly student. I wasn't the toughest guy, but being able to rap was my source of significance. My father and my mother weren't together. Never met my father. He became a drug addict and kind of let his life crumble. I felt like my dad was this piece of my life that I needed to have to feel like I was somebody. My mother was like, you just need to read your Bible. And I remember ripping the pages out of the Bible and throwing it on the floor. And I said, I don't want this Bible. I just couldn't wrap my hands around this being true, this being real. I think as the emptiness started to get more profound, when I had to drink more, smoke more, find another woman, I was really, really, really in a dark place. I got invited by a friend to a conference, and I see rappers. I see people who came from the same background I came from, and they still embodied who they were culturally, but they were all in love with Jesus, and I'd never seen that before. And then finally, someone got up and said, do you know you've been bought with a price? And he told me the story of Jesus bearing all of my sin, all of my lying, all of my cheating, all of my escapades, all of my drinking and drugging, and put it on his own back. And it made me think, man, I'm like, somebody thinks I'm significant enough to climb up this mountain with this cross on his back and take nails in his wrists and his feet for me. Called up my friends who I knew were living for Jesus, and I said, we gotta make this happen. I'm coming home. I saw change happening. I spent a lot of time searching for father figures. I saw the evidence. And God has shown me that, you know, ultimately he's my father. And it drives me to keep pressing. I started volunteering at a juvenile detention center. And some of those songs that I had written in my darkest times when I was crying out to God, I would do for him. And you just see him sitting there weeping. It hit me like, this is what I want to do. I want to use music to offer hope and encouragement to people. I was created by God, but I didn't want to be like him. I want to be him, the Jack Sparrow of my Caribbean. I remember the first created being and how he shifted the blame on his dame for fruit he shouldn't have eaten. And now look at us all out of Eden, wearing designer fig leaves by Louis Vuitton, make believing. But God sees through my foolish pride, and that I'm weak like Adam, another victim of Lucifer's lies. But then in steps Jesus. All men were created to lead, but we needed somebody to lead us. More than a teacher, but somebody to buy us back from the darkness. You could say he redeemed us. I've learned to stay close to my source of significance, to my source of worth, and that's God. My name is Lecrae, and I am second.
Well, that's absolutely. That's a dynamic testimony of a young man who made a choice. And his choice was to put himself in second. Now, the I Am Second is a movement, actually, meant to inspire people of all backgrounds to live for God, whether they be actors or athletes, musicians, business leaders, drug addicts, your next door neighbor, or people just like you and me. And they provide insight into dealing with the typical struggles of everyday living and how to make Jesus first and put ourselves in second. And they say that that's the key, which is so true. That's the key to forgiveness and to hope and to fulfillment. My hope is this year, even this day, you will choose to be second. And finally, as we begin a brand new year with new opportunities and challenges, the best decision you can make, and I hope that you will, is to choose Jesus above all others. Choose Jesus above all others. Joshua gave the people a choice, did he not? The gods beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites. But he said, me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You have choices. You have options. But my hope is that you will make the right choice, which is to choose Jesus above all others. Why? Because Jesus is the one that said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Either you believe those words that Jesus is the one, or you're not quite sure about who he is, or you totally reject him. Either way, you have to make a choice about who he is. But let me ask you, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross and that he rose again, but you've delayed the decision to take the next step, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back? What's stopping you from making a public declaration of your faith? What's preventing you from putting action behind your belief, being obedient to what God has called you to be, to take the next step and to be baptized? What's holding you back? Some would say, well, I'm waiting for the right time. Today is the right time. As we step into this new year, as we listen to Joshua tell the folks that he spoke to, that today is the day, and we realize we may not even have tomorrow, it makes it all the more urgent that we think through these major decisions in our life and say, now is the time. Now is the time. Don't let someone that who may not be walking the same path as you or may not be in the same spiritual stage or growth as you are to cause you to delay what you know God is calling you to do right now. Consider the fact that your presence here today is in some way a divine appointment or a divine opportunity to start the new year by making the best decision you'll ever make, allowing Jesus to become the Lord of your life and by trusting in him and being baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, I don't want you to make a decision about Jesus based on just emotion. It needs to be a decision based on faith and conviction of who he is and what he has done. And if you're feeling compelled at this moment, like you're saying, I hear what's being said and it makes sense, and I'm feeling like, well, maybe this is a decision I need to make. It's because it's the Holy Spirit speaking into your soul to urge you to make a decision to fully follow Jesus Christ right now. And my encouragement would be to you, don't hesitate. Have courage. Have boldness. Do what you know you need to do and what God's calling to you to do. John Maxwell is an author, and he tells this story about a personnel manager who had advertised a job opening. And a large group of applicants had arrived and were in the waiting room, waiting their turn to be interviewed. And so the first young man was ushered into her office, and she began to explain to him what the job was going to be. And she said something like this: "We need someone in this job who can make quick decisions, someone who can really think on their feet. Can you show me that you're capable of doing this?" Without a word, he got up, went to the office door, stuck his head out, and announced to the other waiting applicants, "Okay, guys, you can all go home. The job's just been filled." He was decisive. That's the point. He didn't hesitate. He made the decision he knew that he needed to make for the outcome that he wanted. The same is true for you and I. We can't hesitate when it comes to the most important decision of life. Who is Jesus? Will I make him my Lord and my Savior? And as we enter into this new year, what is it that's preventing you from stepping forward and being baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection? What are you waiting for? God's calling on you today to follow him. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he died for your sins, that he was resurrected to new life, and that he offers salvation to all who would believe, then what are you waiting for? And if you've already been received Christ, if you've already been baptized, my prayer is that you would allow your faith in Jesus to become a beacon of light, a beacon of hope to everyone that you encounter, that they too may know that God loves them more than they can possibly even fully imagine, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, no matter what they've done. You know, Jesus tells a story, a very interesting story about a man who prepares a banquet, a feast. And this man who prepares this feast sends out two invitations. The first invitation is kind of like one of those save the date invitations. You know, you probably get those. Somebody's going to be getting married or they're having some sort of special occasion. And they send out a pre-invitation. Just save the date. It's a year away, but just save the date, right? And then when it gets a little closer, they send out, well, the real invitation that says, "Okay, we're ready. Now come." It's exactly what happens in this story with Jesus, the one that he tells. And so here's what he says in Luke 14. He says, "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests that it was ready. And he said, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But listen to the next line. They all began to make excuses. On the big day, one after another responded to the invitation with excuses as to why they couldn't come. 'It's not a good time for me. Or I'm too busy. I've got family responsibilities. I don't have the finances.' Whatever it was, how often has God's invitation in your life been crowded out by similar excuses? Think about it. Think about it. Don't delay today what you know God is calling you right now to do. Don't allow those excuses to be the story of your life. Jesus reminds us that at some point in the story, at some point, the one who's throwing the banquet withdraws the invitation from some of those guests that were invited, and he gives it to someone else. My point is, and I think Jesus' words are this, time is of the essence. We all think that we have all the time in the world, but the truth is, you don't know what the rest of this day even looks like, or tomorrow, what this year holds. So if you're feeling compelled to make the best decision of your life, and you're wondering if today is the day you should do that, absolutely, today is that day. And like the man in the story who sent out his servant into the streets to invite the needy to the banquet, God sent his son to the whole world to tell them that his kingdom has arrived and it's ready for all of us. That includes me, that includes you. So here's my question for you. Have you RSVP'd for the banquet? Have you RSVP'd for the banquet? Some of you have, and praise God for that. Some of you have not. But it's really a simple process. It's just responding to the RSVP. Let's take those letters, RSVP. Let me tell you how simple it is to respond to the invitation that God is offering you right now. The R is realize your need. The truth is you can't save yourself. Much as you want to, much as you hope that you can't save yourself. And that's why Jesus came. That's why God sent him, so that we would have an offer of salvation to all those who would choose to follow him. It's a choice. The S in the RSVP, say you're sorry. This is the idea of repentance. Repentance is the idea that we turn our backs on the things of this world and we turn ourselves to God. It's a conscious decision of the heart in the mind to turn away from the sin in our lives and the sin in the world and do our very best to follow God. Say that we're sorry. RSV. The V in the invitation is voice your trust. Voice your trust. Make it known to anyone and everyone who you believe Jesus is. It's as simple as proclaiming, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. It's as simple as that, voicing your trust. And the P, well, that's plunge your past. Plunge your past. I believe these words may be what God is saying directly to you today. This next verse might be God's words to you right now. Follow along. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want to take the opportunity as we go into 2017 to lead us in a word of prayer. And I think for some people in this room right now is a very critical moment. And if you're one who is already in Christ, I want you to be praying along with me, because I think the Holy Spirit is moving in lives in this room right now. People are contemplating choices, serious choices about what their future looks like, what their spiritual lives are going to be in the coming days and weeks and months and years. And it's about making the right choice. So let's bow together and let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we are in every way more than grateful for what you've done through us through Jesus Christ. We look to the cross and we see hope. We look to the cross and we see forgiveness and fulfillment and wholeness. But we know it was a steep price that Jesus paid for our freedom. For he was mocked and he was tortured and he was spat upon and he in every way suffered physically for us. And then he was nailed to a cross. And I'm always reminded that it wasn't the nails that held into that cross, because at any moment he could have come down, but it was his love for all of us, his desire to know us and to save us and to offer us a pathway to salvation that kept him on that cross. He didn't go to the cross because he was sinful himself, for he had never tasted of sin. He died for our sins. And so today, Father, we come to you saying we are in no way perfect people. We understand that, and that we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, and you're calling us today to make a choice, to make a decision about the most important thing in life, and that is, who will we serve? Who's going to sit on the throne of our heart? Father, I pray that today some people make the choice to let Jesus reign in their lives, and that this year would be the best year ever.
Thanks for listening to this message. best decision ever with Campus Pastor Harvey Carpenter. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.